remain standing for scripture reading.
Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to our text this morning. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 12:33-37. Matthew 12:33-37. And let's hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says there, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. May God bless his word. Please be seated. We struggle to understand what's in the heart of man. We struggle to understand what's in our own hearts. But Jesus this morning makes it easy to figure it out. We often spend our lives trying to figure out who we are, what we are to become, what do we really like. We read in 2 Corinthians 10:12, Paul speaking there of the false apostles and how they are ones that measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves to sort of find out who they are. Paul says they're without understanding as they do that. I even found one translation that aptly put it, they are stupid when they try to evaluate themselves by themselves. Paul knows that to look in the mirror is a foolish thing, to figure out who you are. The scripture tells us that the heart of man is deceitful above all else. Who can know it? The point is that no man can understand his own desires and intentions of his heart by looking into his own heart. We need to look plainly outside of ourselves, you could say, into the mirror of the written word of God. So the only answer to the question of who can understand it of the heart is God. God is the only one who knows it, who understands it, and he has told us about our hearts in his word. Truth is, we don't need all sorts of psychological tests and studies and surveys and experiments to figure out who we are. The heart of man is plainly displayed in the pages of the Bible. Beloved, the Bible is sufficient for you to know yourself, to know who God has made you to be, and who God is calling you to be in Christ. Yesterday, a few of us attended a conference, and as part of the conference, there was a Q&A session, and one of the questions came up regarding what do Christians make of, or what should we make of all these personality tests, and one of the ones that is floating around now is called an Enneagram, and interesting how that came up. I had written my message and was going to reference that in it, and it came up in our talk yesterday. It's very popular in Christian circles. to try to figure out your personality type by taking this inventory, which comes up with 9 different kinds of personalities, sort of. And you need to figure out who you are in that. It's really just an updated version. If you've been around in the church, you've lived long enough, you know back in the 60s and 70s, there was another version of this put out by Tim LaHaye. And it looked at these 4 personality types drawn from sort of Greek ideas about what we are like or what how we differ perhaps in personalities. But the truth is, in the end, all of those things, all of those surveys and tests are just the blind leading the blind. It's just figuring out who we are by comparing ourselves either with each other or just sort of looking in a mirror. But in the end, it's looking in the broken mirror of man to try to give me a sense of who I am. There's a lot of problems with all of those kinds of surveys and tests, but again, the biggest one is the Bible, beloved, never lets us define ourselves by ourselves. It never lets me look in the mirror and say, well, that's who I am. But rather, the scriptures drive us to define ourselves by the written word of God. And so at the end of the day, this means who I am or who you are is to be shaped not by who I feel I am or who my parents were even, but rather by the Word of God. Now, we're shaped by a lot of things, right? Genetics, family, culture, life experiences, traumas. But the question in all of this is not what influences us, but who will be king in who we are? Who will be king? What will, in the end, what will I allow to shape me ultimately? What will be the chief determiner of who I am? What will shape me in how I think and how I act and how I love and how I fight and how I rest and how I am anxious or angry or content or full of joy? And finally, as we look at our text this morning, finally, what will influence me in what I say? What I say. Jesus brings this home in the text. He puts it out there very plainly that who I am and who you are ultimately is defined by what comes out of our mouth. That's who I really am. Jesus is saying, the sum of my speech is a very good summary of my character and my person. It is, in fact, scary, scary accurate. It is the best personality test out there. Who you and I are is revealed ultimately, as Christ says, in what comes out of our mouths. And in fact, it's so accurate, Jesus goes on at the end here in verse 37 to tell us that it is by our words that we will be either on one hand justified or condemned on the day of judgment. Now, Jesus is responding here to the Jewish leaders in chapter 12. They have just spoken some very vile things about the Son of God. And he is leading up to, in this text, to that final sort of plunge of the knife in verse 37. out of the things they've said, saying to them, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. And he uses a few illustrations this morning. The first is out of the fruit tree, verse 31, and then of a treasure. A good tree, he says, will produce good fruit, and a bad tree, bad fruit. It cannot be otherwise. It just can't be otherwise. When we had the chance to travel to Thailand in the last couple of years, there's a fruit over there known as durian. Durian fruit. It's a large fruit, grows on a tree. It looks ugly on the outside. You cut it open, and inside there is this custard-like flesh, kind of a vanilla sort of a looking flesh in there that's has some people like it. Most people find it absolutely disgusting. It has the smell of dirty diapers. And it has an aftertaste of kerosene. It's banned on public transportation or hotels because it smells so bad. It is a bad. You can't get a durian tree to smell like an orange tree or like a rose. It just won't happen. Christ is revealing here that the fruit of a wicked heart is gonna smell and taste horrible. It just has to. It just will. You could say our words, if they're coming out of an evil heart, will smell like dirty diapers, taste like kerosene to those around us. The second illustration Christ uses is that of a treasure. He speaks of one treasure being good, one being evil. It seems kind of strange to have an evil treasure. But the point here is that we draw out of our treasures in this life and sort of spend them, and our words are things that we sort of spend out. It comes out of a treasure. And it just depends on what's there, whether it's a good treasure or an evil treasure that we draw out of this storehouse within us. Jesus, as he speaks to the Pharisees, speaks in very tough words. He doesn't allow them to wiggle out of their words, to rationalize them, or maybe to act as though, well, you know, we're really trying to say something different. It's not what we meant, though it came out that way. Rather, Jesus calls them out according to the words, and he actually identifies them as vipers, poisonous snakes, because of the things that have just come out of their mouths. Now, we might step back from that and say, well, Jesus, that doesn't sound very nice. It's coming out of yours. Is Christ breaking his own standard here by what he's saying, these tough, mean things, perhaps, you'd say to the Pharisees? Well, Christ isn't saying there's never a place for strong words, words of even rebuke, as these are. Nor is he saying there's never a time to righteously call a name, even. There is. The sharp and the angry words of Christ are righteous here. Righteousness on display, rebukes at times, though they are sharp, are things which, when done in righteousness, come out of a good treasure. Because they're looking to draw someone back from their sin. Sharp words, even. Righteously angry words, you could say. Words that are angry because of the glory of God. Not our own glory, but for his glory. Those are words that are good fruit.
out of a good treasure.
Rather, Christ has in mind here the words of the Jews where they are slandering him, saying that the power that he is exerting and casting out demons is actually the power of hell itself, that Jesus is working for hell. And Christ has warned them that they are coming perilously close to blaspheming the very power and the person of the Holy Spirit. They are, by this, showing what is in their hearts, the evil treasure that is there. Their words are, in fact, venom. They're not meant as a rebuke to call someone back. They're meant to kill those they're aimed at. They're seeking to destroy Jesus with the fruit of their lips, because they want to see Jesus absolutely ruined by saying he is working for the devil himself. Not simply that they disagree with Jesus, but he is a minion of hell. And it's this for which Jesus is calling them out. And Jesus says, "For the mouth speaks," verse 34, "the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." You could say we are exactly what we say. We are exactly what we say. How many times have you heard someone, or you've said it yourself, something like, "I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that. That's not me. That's not like me. I'm just tired. I'm just hungry. I'm just confused. I'm frustrated." There are 100 other excuses that come out of our mouths. We want to say, no, I'm better than the words that I've just spoken. They don't really define me. Well, Jesus would say to us, actually, that's exactly who you are. My words do not lie about me. For the mouth speaks, Jesus says, out of that which fills the heart. If there is a good treasure there in your heart, your words will come out as a good treasure. If your heart is filled with evil, as Christ makes plain, then it is evil that will be brought forth. That's just a jarring truth to hear. I want to hear my words don't really matter. They're not that important. That I can say things that I just want to say whenever. That the things I say are not really me, but just some other force outside of me saying those things. The truth is, what I say when I'm tired is who I am when I'm tired. What I say when my feelings are hurt, that's who I am when my feelings are hurt. What I say when I'm frustrated, that's who I am when I'm frustrated. There's not some version of me that exists out there as the real me, which is only me when I've had my coffee and the sun is shining and the day is fun and easy. That's not the full picture. In fact, that's rarely me. Or you. Most of the time in our lives, we have some degree of stress upon us. And what we say in those moments is us. It is who I am. Jesus says here that our own words will be those which actually speak for us or against us. Isn't that an interesting concept? He speaks about our words here in verse 36. I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. By your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. And so there's this sense of our own words coming and testifying. What we have spoken will either speak for us or will speak against us someday. They will either justify us or condemn us. That means that the things that we say to our spouse or our children or our fellow believers or our neighbors, Jesus says, in fact, every word will be either used to justify us, that is, it will be brought forth as evidence. Evidence before the accuser of the brethren, Beelzebul, as he's spoken of in this chapter earlier, who will be there to slander you on that day. And God will call forth your words. And they will be there to justify you and to say, no, this one is mine. You cannot speak against them. Or Jesus says they will be used to show this one did not have my good treasure. How then do you make sure that your words, the words you say, will be words that will justify you on that day? The answer isn't just to sort of try harder. Remember that old little Sunday school song, perhaps some of you grew up with, "Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down, or the Father from above is looking down in his love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say." What actually requires more than that? It requires that we have a good treasure on the inside. The truth is, we need new words. It's part of the Christian life is new words in you so that you'll have a good treasure. We need the new words of the living God. Beloved, the word of the living God is to be the greatest influence and shaper of who you are and what you are becoming. You know, the Bible never wastes time trying to define us as an introvert. Or an extrovert, or a type A, or a type B, or C, or anything in between. It's just not there. The Bible doesn't care at that level. It only cares to define us and shape us by the person of Christ and through the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit in your life. What type of person does God want you to be? Introvert, extrovert? We shouldn't waste our time on all those things. Rather, we ought to seek to become the kind of person who sounds like Jesus in the things we say, who looks like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That should be your personality. Yes, there are powerful influences on you in this world, to be one way or the other, all sorts of things outside of you, inside of you. but it is the Word of God that is to shape our personalities, our persons, far more than mother or father or culture or DNA. Those are powerful, to be sure, influences. But it is the Word of God that is to, in the end, shape us. And it is the Word of God that can shape us more than those things. More than your genetics, beloved. More than what your father said to you or didn't say to you, or your mother said or didn't say or did or didn't do. We're never called in the Bible to sort of look inward to ourselves and figure out who I am or what am I to be. Always, always, always we're called to look outward. Outward to the written Word of God. Beloved, take your words. Take all your words. May God give us the grace to do this, to take all our words with great seriousness, great weight. They are meant by God, and they will be, the expression of your heart. And they are. God has said here, He takes them that way. So let each one we speak be drawn out of the good treasure of the Word of God. And this means we need the Word of God hidden in our hearts. Hidden that we might not sin against Him. Each word ought to be the expression of either God's word, even directly. We ought to do well at speaking the written Word of God, knowing it so it's on our lips, and then allowing it, because there's a good treasure there, to shape every other word that we might say, and also the way in which we will say those words. And that will be who we are. May God give us the grace for that. May the words of my mouth, as the psalmist says, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh, my rock and my redeemer. What a great prayer for every day. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you that you haven't left us to ourselves. You've not left us to look in the mirror. You've not left us to look at others. You've not left us to look at surveys, Lord, tests to figure out who it is we ought to be. But you've put it there in your word. Oh, Lord, we pray for good treasures. Put within each of us a great storehouse of your truth, that it would just well up, that it would come out as we speak, and it would shape every word, Lord, that we would speak to our spouse, to our children, to our fellow believers, Lord, to our friends, Lord, to our enemies. Oh, Father, we pray for words that will justify. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to stand as Aaron would come and lead us as we sing in closing, His mercy is more.